Hey, everybody, this is Jeff Bajorek from the Why on the Buy podcast, wishing nothing but the best for you and yours this holiday season as we roll into 2019. Christy and I have some really exciting stuff in store for you as we head into January and beyond, and we cannot wait to share it with you. So as you head into this new year and you think about all the promise that is ahead, remember, when you know your why, your hows and your whats get much better.
Time for a sales manager spotlight, brought to you by Death Wish Coffee, the world's strongest coffee. And we're going to be talking to some of the world's strongest and smartest sales managers.
What they like, what they fear, how they hire. Doesn't matter if you're a manager, doesn't matter if you're a salesperson, it doesn't even matter if you're just a person. You're going to learn something from these top leaders from around the country.
And with that, it's time to get this week's Sales Manager Spotlight. Let's go to the boss's office. I promise, this time, it won't be scary. All right, so diehards, welcome Solomon. Solomon, tell us, like...
Yeah, who the hell are you, Solomon?
What you doing? What's going on here?
Well, first of all, I'm really grateful to be here. Cool. I mean, I started out a lot like Christian, but kind of a different realm. I was the college dropout failure.
I know this kind of
guy. Oh, my God. Trevor's going to love you because he's a college dropout.
Yes. I was the one who was...
I could have dropped out of any school. I chose to drop out of Temple University. Where'd you drop out?
Yeah, I dropped out of a community college in Mesa, Arizona.
Whoa.
Ooh,
that's an insult.
And the reason I quit going to my classes because I got a job selling cell phones in the kiosks in the mall, and I got addicted to making money more than I wanted to sit in a classroom.
Yeah.
And now
we get it.
I dropped out of college for exactly the same reason. This is in the 60s now. I took this position where I could be making 50 grand a year, and the professor that I was listening to was making 25.
Yeah.
Am I listening to this guy?
Exactly. I was going to school for nutrition, which the average salary is $35,000 a year. Like,
wow.
With my lifestyle habits, I was not going to survive.
Wait, like, if you want to eat healthy foods,
$35,000
a year.
Nowadays, it's like, how can you even survive on that salary?
You can eat or pay rent.
It's like you walk into Whole Foods for 5 minutes, $100.
$100. I never spend less than $100 at Whole Foods.
Honey,
it's like $100 every time.
Yeah. I'm happy for
minimum.
You. I'm happy.
It's
for
so
you.
Bad. And now they just
I walk down the aisle at Whole Foods. And I don't see one brand I want to buy.
Jeffrey's like, healthy, 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 no thanks.
He's like, get me out of here.
Tastes like rope.
Yep. No, it actually tastes good. Actually, you like their chicken noodle soup.
Yeah, I do. But only because I'm forced to go there.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's okay.
Their cookies are good, though.
Yeah,
it's Amazon now.
I know.
No, it's
like,
not Whole Foods
your
anymore.
Prime like, card
yeah,
at the
Postmates.
End. It's so cool.
Unbelievable.
I work with Christian, and he Uber Eats more food than anybody I know.
Gabrielle wants us to Uber Eats like every night. Yeah. We've never done it, actually. And every night she's like, just Uber Eats it.
Yeah. I can't believe – I can't relate to you how many times Christian's missed his Uber Eats meal and had to reorder a second time, though.
Oh. That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so wait.
All right, so how did you find a rooster?
No. Go back and say who the hell you are.
Yeah, my name's Solomon Earhart. I was a sales guy who became a pest control guy is kind of how I like to consider it. And I wasn't ever a buggy guy. I actually used to personal training sales at the gyms. And some lady that worked at the front desk was like, you'd be really great at pest control sales. And I'm like, what the hell is pest control sales?
Wait, let's see your muscle, first of all. Let's see your muscles.
I got a little bit. Entrepreneur life kind of takes a lot of that away from you. It's hard to work, you know.
For those 15
hour days and go to the gym.
For those of you who can't see because you're listening, he has some muscle.
He does. But I want to see triceps, not biceps.
Oh, Jeffrey.
I don't have any.
Not bad.
It's all biceps. All bicep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So
I got into the pest control world. I mean, randomly, I just at 23 decided to make the change from, you know, salary, commission, bonus position to go to Houston, Texas to try to knock doors in this new industry. And, you know, then my first year, I sold 250 something accounts and was a top 10 first year rookie sales rep, and you know, the rest is history, you know, up to where I've generated $250,000 in a 4.5 month period doing pest control. And that was when I really made the decision in my mind, was like, well, if I'm going to keep doing this, I might as well do this for myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bingo.
Yeah, and at the same time, my parents were kind of convincing me to like move to Charlotte, North Carolina, like be close to family. And I'm like, okay, it's probably a good idea. I said, but if I'm going to move, I don't want to go do pest control in another place one summer. So I hit up one of my best friends, Jordan, just called him up one day and was like, hey, we're moving to Charlotte and we're going to start a pest control company. And he said, okay. And I said, okay, cool, I'll call you in a few months. And, you know, 7 months later, we rolled out here with nothing but an idea and, you know, have since made something huge happen.
Wow.
Wow.
And how did you find Christian?
Honestly, I DM'd him on Instagram. I think
he
I had been kind
of I had
been
of bugs. Wait.
Yeah, no, I had been stalking his like sales team Instagram page for probably that whole summer, and so I just knew the company that he worked for. I knew what they did and kind of what they offered, and I was in a position to offer something different, and I knew it would be enticing enough for him to at least hear it out.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, then whatever. I don't really care anyways. Like, so I reached out to him, and I guess it just happened to work out perfectly that he was kind of really open to hearing something new, and cool. And here we are.
So for those of you who think no business happens on Instagram and I don't need an Instagram account, there is.
You need an Instagram account.
Yeah, like, or for those of you who think there's no business Instagrams. Like bug business.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that is so cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny. You like go out to the bars or you like go to these social events and you like meet these people, especially here in Charlotte because it's all finance. They're all bankers and,
yeah,
and
yeah.
money people. And I
or
go,
lawyers.
I'm like, yeah, I'm in the pest control industry. And they're like, what the hell?
You're no, you
a
know
technician?
What?
And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. You know, it doesn't matter.
Whatever you want it to be.
Have you ever seen a bug in your home? Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
Then you're not using us.
I get
yeah,
it.
Exactly. You need a ruse. Yeah.
So, exactly. Okay, so you come out here and you're like, I'm going to start a business. A lot of people would just sink with that. You know, like there's so much to do. How did you know what to do first, where to begin?
I honestly had no idea. I mean, I knew I had to get the licensing, first mm-hmm. of all. So, you know, we moved out here and I had started the process of getting North Carolina's licenses, but it ended up being a thing that took me over a year and a half to actually get. So
wow.
I was like, oh crap, what do I do now? And I found out that South Carolina's licenses was way easier. So I got that and we only started selling door to door in Fort Mill, Tega Cay, and Rock Hill until
you,
a year later.
Can you credit wow. your sales education, your banging on doors education to your fortitude and concentration to continue to get the licenses, because it's a pretty logical thing.
Oh yeah, exactly.
But it takes the discipline.
It takes a lot of discipline and a lot of hard work. I mean, the one thing I learned
it takes persistence.
Yeah, the one thing I learned knocking doors is it's like, I mean, man, there were so many days knocking doors where I was literally like on the side of the street in tears, you know, having to like persevere through hundreds of no's. You know, but the one thing I learned about, you know, persevering through those hard times was the harder I worked, the more I reaped. And so the one thing that me and my partners have learned here is with everything that we've encountered, if we were willing to just work harder than anybody else, it would pay off. And that's basically what we did is like any obstacle we came across, it was like, okay, you know, the city's trying to, you know, get this from us, or, you know, this company is trying to, you know, badmouth us this way. But if we work harder, then the accounts are going to come in, the money's going to come in, and the business is going to grow no matter what anybody says or does.
Your competitors are not going to speak kindly of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially if you're kicking their ass.
Yeah.
But what I want to know, you're in the operations part of the business now.
Yep.
Where your sales skills have to be there in order to understand who you're dealing with.
All day. I mean, yeah, I went from, you know, having to regularly sell, say, 5 to 10 accounts a day to now I have to sell 90 people a day on what they're doing, how to do it to our standards to uphold the company the way we want it to grow. And that's hard. I mean, so many different personality types, but it's not like you're getting rejected so many times. It's like I'm actually having to close these people all day, every day.
So you have 90 people on your team?
We started the year with 6, and at the highest point of this summer, we were up to 90 people total. between sales reps and operation and service staff.
Way to go. And so what has that been like internally to try and scale your processes and have everyone be on the same page?
And herd the cats.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a lot of sleepless nights, anxiety attacks, you know. But I mean, the biggest thing is it's like I feel like anybody on my team would be willing to work hard if they see me working the hardest. And so that's kind of what I've done is I've always just been there leading from the front. You know, like we got super backed up the other day. I hopped in a truck and sprayed houses all week while still doing all the other stuff I needed to do at the end. Like no one can, you know, no one wants to not work as hard as their boss, even though no one's going to outwork me.
And nobody can talk about how you don't work behind their, you know what I mean?
Yeah. If everybody can say one thing, they can't say that they outwork me. That's it, you know.
That is so
you know,
cool.
In my seminars, I say you can say, not everybody's going to agree with me, but nobody can say I don't work my ass off.
Yeah, exactly.
And let them say the same thing
you
about
do
you.
Work your ass off,
I do.
Funny.
And
me
I mean,
too.
And that's what separates most people, you know I mean?
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, it's like everybody wants this or wants that, but nobody's willing to work for it. Especially nowadays, I feel like everyone wants the money, but no one wants to actually work for it.
They think it just comes automatically.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that term, passive income.
I'll tell you something else. I don't think you realize it. I don't know that you realize how hard you actually do work until somebody else affirms it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I did a consulting job in Greenville, North Carolina in the 70s. And I was with my now passed on brother-in-law, Randy, and we were fixing up this guy's textile screen printing factory. And we come to work at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. We work till like 7 o'clock at night because we're there for a short period of time. It's very intense. And after we've been there for about 4 or 5 days, the CEO of the company calls us into his office and he says, look, I'm the hardest working person I know until I met you. So I'm now going to back off and you do whatever you want. When you're done, let me know.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I'd ever heard that. And it lit a candle underneath me to said, oh, I thought everyone did this.
Yeah, right.
And when you find out that you're one of the only ones that does it, it sets a whole different atmosphere. It sets a whole different picture in what you do. And I'll guarantee you that half of the people that work for you, with you, don't realize how hard of a worker you are until they see you working.
Yeah, they need to see it.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Exactly.
And I can tell you this, spraying houses for 1 week, that rumor went through the company way faster than anything you could have done.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I'm the first one that's not afraid to get out there and get dirty. You
cool.
know,
yeah.
I mean, I'll outwork everybody and I tell them all the time. So I'm said, you know, I'm the best technician in this company.
Cool.
So what else? So your salespeople also do the spraying. Is that right?
So not exactly. I mean, some of them will assist with some of that service. But in reality, one of the things we offer, you know, we got these guys coming out to sell and there's always going to be the guys that can't make it or won't make enough money or can't hit those commissions to like make it worth it. And what we do is we'll convert them into technicians, keep them out there for the summer, still pay for their housing, pay them a good pay, you know, show them hard work, still take them on a lot of the trips and incentives and stuff that we do because we're really just trying to create that experience. You know, I mean, the one thing, you know, door-to-door sales is going to teach, you know, and what we try to, you know, put into the business as well is it's just hard work. You know, it's like if you can learn hard work and no matter where you go, you're going to be successful.
And so how quickly do you know if someone's going to be successful or if they should be turned in at sales or they should be turned into a tech?
I would say usually within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You kind of know. Yeah. I mean, the first week is kind of a buffer. You got to give it to them, you know, like, okay, you know, it's tough. Like my first time going out selling, I didn't sell one pest account my whole first week, you know, and then I sold 50 within the next 3 weeks.
Wow.
You know, but it just took something to make it click for me to where I was like, okay, I know how to do this now.
Or it took acceptance.
Yeah.
To lead you to the next one, to lead you to
and
the next one. But
I
want to throw something at you that I don't know whether you think about it or not, but the guy that fails at door-to-door that you turn into a technician can also be a salesperson still by just asking them, you know, hey, you see what kind of a great job we did. Who else?
Yep, exactly. Well, that's one thing that I literally just came from right now was a meeting with our technicians, and I was teaching them the same door-to-door
indirect
sales process, you know, so they could knock the doors around the customers. You know, I feel like I've seen almost two, sometimes you take these guys on the doors and they're salesmen, you know, portfolio. And when you turn them into a technician and they're there to actually provide the service for the customer, they end up becoming actually really good salesmen in that aspect, just like you were saying. You know, it's like once you kind of take away the stigma of being a salesman, they actually are really good at it when they let that guard down. You know, and then they end up turning into salesmen anyways because they figure out how easy it is. Yeah, exactly.
Versus sell. Yeah,
the best printing salesperson is the one that worked as a printing press operator for 5 years.
Yep.
Because he or she will know exactly what to do. But let me go back and say that technician, I would not have him or her cold call. I would have him or her take the neighbor and go next door and get me an introduction.
Yep.
They all know their neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, this is Billy over here. He just sprayed the crap out of our bugs. They're all dead.
Oh, yeah.
And I know I've been to your house 4 or 5 times. You got bugs.
Yeah. I've went into cul-de-sacs before in the neighborhood, and I've literally went and knocked on every house in the cul-de-sac and asked everyone to come out into the middle of the cul-de-sac. Because you know how most cul-de-sacs,
they all know each other.
Yeah. So I would literally pull them all out into the cul-de-sac and then pitch them all together and give them a one-time deal if all of them signed up at the same time. And I mean, half the time I would just let them all split the initial divided by the 5 people, you know, or something like that. And, you know, it would work every time.
Really? That's so cool.
Yeah.
Pure pressure. Totally. You don't want to be the neighbor with bugs.
Nobody wants to be the neighbor that
live in a cul-de-sac, Solomon is on his way.
Because that was one thing we always used to use, too. Like, well, if I treat the neighbors, all the bugs are going to come over to your house.
Yeah.
So it's like nobody wants to be that guy.
That's cool. I think, though, that we as older adults hear a bunch of stuff about how younger people aren't working hard anymore, or they expect everything. They have an entitlement mentality. I don't think you have a feeling, 1 ounce of entitlement about you, nor do I think that Christian does. I think that you're going to create your own entitlement. You're going to create your own wealth, and you've already proven that you can do it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was really blessed with Christian as a partner. I mean, you never really know what to expect from some guy off Instagram, you know, but
it actually
worked out really, really well. And it's like, you know, me and my other partner, who's one of my best friends and has been for a long time. I mean, we bring Christian on, and it's like now we're like even stronger and more whole than we ever were before. I mean, because we have weaknesses where the other ones are strong. So it's been a blessing, you know, which I've been glad of.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's great. That's totally great.
All right. Where do people find out more information
about Aruzic? Come on.
So, I mean, you can go to our Instagrams at Aruzapest. And then
I've seen your IG, but tell the people what it involves.
So, I mean, we have a couple different Instagrams. We have the one that's directly Aruza Marketing, and then we have the Aruza Pest Control. The Aruza Marketing is strictly the door-to-door aspect of the business, and it's at Aruza_marketing. I mean, we want to provide, you know, young guys or girls an ability to propel themselves in life, you know what I mean? I think door-to-door sales has done more for me than I could have ever even asked for. And if I could go back to when I was 18, I would have started back then instead of at 23, you know, and who knows where I'd be now, but maybe I wouldn't be in Charlotte, so I guess I can't really ask too much.
Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
So it happened
I,
at the right time in your life, and, you know.
So start working young.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Stop relying on other people to give you a handout.
Yep. And work your ass off.
Work your ass off. Yeah, and just the thing is, it's like, don't be afraid to fail. I mean, I've failed so many times. And, you know, like I said, I mean, we've been hit so many setbacks. I mean, this year was crazy. I mean, going from 6 employees to 90, I mean, I can't even imagine, you know, the stuff that we've dealt with. I mean, we had one technician, you know, randomly get super sick and was in ICU and intensive care for months and doesn't work for us anymore. We had another technician just, you know, 30 days past, going home on the weekend, got in a fatal car accident, and we lost him and his brother because his brother, you know, was obviously deeply saddened and, you know, quit working for us, of course. But it's like, you can't prepare for those type of things.
Yeah,
the only thing you can do is just put your head down and just work, you know, and keep working.
Now you have a lot of young people that are very successful.
Yep.
And they're staying.
Yep.
And I think they're going to probably be your best recruiter certainly your best source of recruitment.
Yeah. The successful guys that return year two are always the best recruiters. You know, I mean, we're looking at doubling our sales force next year, do 150 sales guys, and doubling our numbers as well, too. So
smart move.
Cool.
Yep.
Well, this is awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you for being on.
And you did great.
Yeah.
Hey, I tried.
No, this is all
first podcast.
First podcast.
First live interview.
Come on, dude.
You did great.
Yeah, nobody can see you peeing in your pants.
I know, right? Except for I'm wearing khaki, so when I leave here, everyone will see it.
If you're a sales leader and you just heard this segment and you're thinking, man, I really should get that Gittimer Learning Academy, stop. You need to get the Learning Academy for your entire team so they can get better. And you can track, measure, and monitor everybody on your team after they've taken the assessment and learn about how good they are and or where they need help. And you as their leader can now actually coach them to victory.
If you're a strong, smart, successful sales manager and you want to be featured in our Sales Manager Spotlight series on Sell or Die, all you need to do is email sellordie@gittimer.com. If you know someone or you have a favorite sales manager who's amazing and should be featured, nominate them at sellordie@gittimer.com. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Sell or Die Hards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.